Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him.
It is so good to be with you today as we begin 4 weeks together. Today we're going to be talking about worry. And as I look across the crowd today, I realize that there's nobody in this room who needs this message, but you probably know somebody who does. And so I hope you'll take good notes. I hope you'll look for a nugget of truth that you can apply to their life, because certainly you don't need it, but they do, right? If you have a Bible with you, I invite you to turn with me to Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 4. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's no problem. You can also follow along on the screen or on your mobile device. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, Paul is writing and he says these words: "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good repute, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, when I first started pastoring out 43 years ago in the Lake Ray Hubbard area, we started our little church there, and I did everything. I was lead pastor, but I was also janitor of the church. I was student minister. I pretty much did everything except those things that I just absolutely couldn't do, which would be like worship music, okay? And one of the things that I did in those early days is I did a lot of counseling, because there wasn't a lot of Christian counseling in the area, and I was the pastor of the church. And I knew about enough. I have an undergraduate degree in psychology. I know about enough about counseling to be dangerous, okay? And I remember the very first person who came to me for counseling, it was a lady, and she came and she told me what her problem was. She said, "I'm depressed." And I said, "Well, tell me more about it," and she did. And then when she finished sharing that, I thought about it for a moment. I thought, what advice might I give to her? And so I looked at her and I said, "Here's my advice to you. Don't be depressed." And apparently I did a fabulous job, because she didn't have to come back for any more counseling. All right? Now, when you first look at this passage in Philippians, the fourth chapter, you think that maybe that's what Paul is saying about worry. Be anxious about nothing. In other words, Paul just looks at you and say, the answer to worry is don't. As if worry was a switch on the wall that we could just flip on and then flip off. And it's not that simple, is it? You remember the song back in the 70s, "Don't Worry, Be Happy," that you know, you start reading this passage, you just start hearing that music play in the background. Hey, just be happy. But it's not that simple. In fact, I'm so grateful that in this passage that Paul not only tells us not to be anxious, but he tells us how not to be anxious. Okay, so let's look at it. And really, it's pretty simple to understand. It's just two things he says that we need to do. First of all, we need to obey God. And second of all, we need to pray to God. So let's look at each one of those. First of all, he says you need to obey God. If you look there in Philippians, the fourth chapter, there in verse 5, he says, have right relationships with others. And he says it by saying this: let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. And so he tells us to obey God, and in telling us to obey God, he gives us three examples, and he says one is in your relationships. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he said the greatest commandment is about your relationship with God. But he said, don't miss it, the second greatest commandment is about your relationships with one another. In other words, he said the most important thing that you and I will ever struggle with is the struggle of relationships. All right, and if we get relationships right, it can remove a lot of the worry that's in our life. When I was growing up, my dad worked for Mobile Oil, and we traveled all around the United States while he was working for Mobile. I remember one time we were living in Mississippi, and I was just a grade school kid, We lived in a little servant's quarters that was behind a much larger house. And we had this little place that we lived, very, very small place, but it had this strip of dirt on the side of it where my brothers and I could play. And there just happened to be a hole in the ground in that strip of dirt. And it was the most fun I think I've ever had in my childhood, because that hole in the ground was a race car. That hole in the ground was a foxhole. It was so many different things as we imagined it. Now, right next to that, the hole in the ground was a white picket fence. And on the other side of the fence, there was St. Augustine grass and then magnolia trees and then a large house that the people lived in, who rented my parents a house that we lived in, the little servant's quarter back behind there. And there was a little girl that used to play in that yard, and we'd see her from time to time, but she never did pay much attention to us. She had beautiful little girl, had Grecian curls, had the prettiest little dresses with petticoats and everything. The kid was not normal. You know what I'm saying? Well, one day it had rained and there was mud in that hole. So good, so good. So we got a couple of pie tins from my mom's kitchen, and we made mud pies, and we laid them out there in the sun to dry. And for the very first time, that little girl was interested in what we're doing. And she came and leaned across the fence, and she said, "What are you boys doing?" And I said, "Well, we're making mud pies." And I took one of them, and I walked over the fence, and I said, "Would you like a bite?" And I smashed it into her face. Now, you need to understand that was before I rededicated my life, okay? She turned and began to scream like a fire engine back toward that big, larger house. And it was at that moment that I began to worry, okay? Now, that's a metaphor for some of your lives right now in terms of relationships. You have stepped outside of God's will for your life in a relationship, and it has created a dynamic, a chaos that you worry about. You go to bed worrying about it. You wake up in the morning worrying about it. And what he says is, if you'll have right relationships, that will solve a lot of your worry. And notice what he says here in verse 5. He says, "Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men." Now, let's stop for a moment. Stay with me here. That word gentle there literally means to go beyond halfway. That's what it means. Let your spirit of doing more than your fair share be made known to all men. Now, stay with me. That means even your greatest enemy would know that you have gone halfway, that you've lived in such a way of going beyond what is fair. Have you ever been in a conflict with somebody and you said, "Well, I'll meet you halfway"? You said that, haven't you? If you haven't said it, you've thought it. Well, Jesus says, that's not my way. My way is to go beyond halfway. Do more than your fair share. He says in Romans, he says, as far as it is possible with you, live at peace with all men. And what that means is it's not possible to live at peace with some men, but they ought to know that you did everything you could do. When I was pastoring that little church in Rockwall, sometimes I would be doing marital counseling, and I would ask a husband, I would say, "What part of this problem is yours?" And I never could find anybody to take half of it. And we go 30%, 20, we go down to 10. And it was amazing. He'd take 10%, and I'd be talking to her in a separate session, and she'd take 10%. And you know what was amazing? That when we solved 20% of their problem, we solved all of their problem. But what we say is, "I'll meet you halfway." Friends, that's not going to get it. Did Jesus meet you halfway in your sin? No, he came all the way. He came all the way. And if we're going to be his representatives in this world, in our relationship, we're to live in such a way that even our greatest enemy would have to recognize that we've done more than our fair share. Right relationships. A second example that Paul gives here is he talks about right living. Look in Philippians 4:9. He says, "The things that you've learned and you've received and you've heard and you've seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Here's part of the problem with growing up in a church, and some of you have, is that we talk so much about living in God's will that we think we're living in God's will. In fact, the vaccination from obeying God is to talk about obeying God. And you hear a scripture and you say, "Oh, I know that scripture. I've heard that message. I know that biblical principle." It doesn't matter if you know it. Are you living it? Are you living it? Because we can come here and we can nod our heads and we can say amen, But if we're not living it, he said that you would actually practice those things that you've heard and you've seen, and you've seen modeled in other believers, that you would actually do those things. King David, God did so much through King David, and he established the nation of Israel. He slew the giant through him. He did so much through King David, but there came a time in David's life where he stopped obeying what he knew. And he started coasting. And it was a time of plenty for him. And instead of going out and fighting the wars that God had him to fight, he sent other people to fight the wars. And his internet of that day was the rooftop of his palace. And he looked and he saw things that he shouldn't be seeing. And he got into an adulterous relationship. And then he murdered to cover up his adultery. And it was the very worst time in his life. In fact, I could just see clouds coming in over his life, and it looked like everything was going great. He was the king of Israel. And yet he knew in his heart of hearts that the chickens were going to come home and roost someday. Some of you are there today. Some of you have got this facade, and it looks great on the outside, but you know you've got secret sin in your life, and you've gotten away with it long enough that you think you might just keep on getting away with it. And the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Then David's friend, Nathan, told a story about a man who had a flock of sheep, but instead of using his own sheep to feed his family, he went and stole one little lamb that a neighbor had. And David was so enraged when he heard that story. He said, this man deserves death. And Nathan, his friend, took his long bony finger and he swung it around the room several times, and then it landed on the nose of David. He said, you're the man. You're the man. And in that moment of confrontation, it was at the same time the worst day in David's life and the best day in David's life. Because he came to confront that which was causing the anxiety and the worry and the cloud over his life, that was blocking him from being used in a mighty way to bless others, especially his family. Are you there today? You see, it's one thing to come here and to say we believe these things. It's another thing to obey. The Bible says that we're to stand behind the shield of faith. That's where we're trusting God to meet the needs in our life that Satan is promising to meet with illicit ways. And we say, no, I'm not going to step outside of that shield of faith, because if you step outside of God's will, you step outside of the shield of faith, and the Bible says that you're vulnerable for all the fiery darts of the evil one. And some of you today are exposed. And you not only have exposed yourself, you have exposed your family, you have exposed those that you could be blessing, because you're so distracted by your sin. You're not here by accident today. You are here to hear what I just said to you. And I call on you today for the sake of your family, for the sake of your friends, for the sake of this community, to move back into trusting God to meet the needs that only he can meet. See, sin is fun. Did you realize that? You say, what do you mean, sin? Listen, if you don't think sin is fun, you haven't found the right sin yet. Sin is fun. That's why we do it. But friends, it's like cherry-flavored poison. It will kill you. It may not kill you the first time you take it, but it will kill you. If we want to overcome worry, we have to obey God by having the right relationships. I mean, some of you need to go to somebody today and apologize. Some of you need to send a letter. You need to take the first move even though they're wrong. Some of you just need to forgive some people who would never be in a right relationship with you, but you need to release them, because the prison that you think you put them in is the prison you're living in. Some of you need to move back behind the shield of faith in your finances, in your viewing habits, and in your relationships, in the way you spend your time, and what you depend upon for your happiness. You need to have right living. And then the third thing he says is right thinking. In Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if there's anything with a good reputation, if there's anything that is excellent, if there's anything that's worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Boy, it's a tough day to be living in with, again, the internet that we have and the access to the things that we can be distracted by. And some of us have stopped exercising the right that we have as believers to say, no, there are certain things that I won't dwell on. There are certain things that I won't think about. I'll not fantasize about disobeying God. I'm not going to do it, but I'm just going to think about doing it. No, you're going to do it if you think about it. And we need to stop thinking negative thoughts where we think bad thoughts about other people and we're critical of them. We need to stop thinking about how other people have harmed us and playing it over and over in our mind and re-injuring ourselves and perpetuating our anger and our fear. We need to guard our minds. And if it's not pure, if it's not lovely, if it doesn't have a good reputation, if it's not excellent, then don't let your mind stay there. See, the problem with some of us who are here today is we have flabby minds. We just think about anything. We just think about everything. And we don't exercise our mental muscles. And here's what will happen then. If you don't do that about other thoughts, that when worry comes into your mind, you're not able, you don't have the mental strength to say, no, I'm not going to relive that over and over. I'm not going to think about the worst case scenario. I'm not going to stay there and play it over and over again. You don't have the ability to do that because you have not exercised that in other mental exercises in your mind. Does that make sense? You've got to guard your mind. You've got to exercise the power that God has given you about what you think about and what you don't think about, what you dwell on and what you don't dwell on. That you don't spend your time fantasizing about something else or someone else meeting needs that only God can meet in your life. So, to obey God, and there's other illustrations that Paul could have given us, but he tells us about right relationships. He tells us about right living. Don't just talk about it, actually live it. And he talks to us about right thinking. But here's the reality. Even when we obey God, we live in a fallen world, don't we? And in a fallen world, there are things we can't control. We can control our sin, and we can lessen the things that we worry about by obeying God, but we can't control other people's sin. Many times we start worrying about what other people are doing outside of God's will that's causing pain in our life and in our family, in our business, in our neighborhood. What do we do then? Did you realize that we couldn't control COVID-19? It's a crazy deal. We never had thought about something like that happening to us. And we just felt helpless in that. And many of us got caught up in the worry about that. And we lived for a long time in fear. What do we do about the things that we don't feel like we have control of? Well, Paul says, if you have control, then obey. If you don't have control, then pray. And so what does he say about prayer? In Philippians 4:6, he says, be anxious for nothing, don't worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And he tells us in this very short passage, he tells us about three kinds of prayer. What I want to do right now is I want to write you a prayer prescription. Okay, can I do that? And if you struggle with worry about stuff you can't control, I want to give you these three prayer pills. And here's my commitment to you. If you'll take them daily on a regular basis, you'll get over worry, okay? Money back guarantee, all right? You ready to hear what these three pills are? The very first word here in Philippians 4:8 about prayer is the word for praise. So the first prayer pill is praise. When you are worrying about something, get on your knees and start praising God. Now, I think it's the least used kind of prayer that there is. You know, there's all kinds of prayer. There's confession. There's intercession where we pray for others. There's supplication where we pray for ourselves. We ask things of God. But praise is one thing we don't do very much of. Sometimes it just doesn't feel natural to us. But we need to do it for a lot of reasons. But if you have a tendency to worry, you need to praise. Because here's what praise does. Praise, you just talk about who God is. God, you are mighty. God, you're creative. God, you're patient. God, you're full of wisdom. We just talk about all the qualities of the God that we serve. And as we praise God, our God gets bigger. Isn't that amazing? Now, let me tell you something. He doesn't really get bigger. We just realize how big he is. Now, if your prayer, if your praising is causing you to realize how big God is, what's happening to your problem at the same time? That's right. It gets smaller. And you go, God's got this one. He does. I don't have this one, but God's got this one. Doesn't he? You think God has your problem? You think God has your finances? He has your health? He has your life or death? Yes, he does. He's a big God. So we start off by praising him. The second thing it says here is it says that we not only praise him, but we also ask of him. Now the word here in the text in my Bible, the translation I have, is the word supplication. Supplication is just a fancy word for ask. Listen to me, if it's big enough for you to worry about, it's big enough for you to bring before God. Oh, God doesn't want to be bothered with that. That's no big deal. It's a big deal because you're worrying about it. Big enough for you to worry about, it's big enough for you to bring before God. Now, I have a warning at this point about this pill. You know, you ever read the warnings about the medication you're taking? I'm going to give you a warning about this medication. If you ask God to be involved in your, you fill in the blank, your health, your finances, your relationships, whatever. I just want to warn you, he may move you from pray back to obey. You know, you're having trouble with your finances. You say, oh, God, help me with my finances. We can't pay our bills. And you think the answer is winning the lottery. And the answer is you not going to the mall. All right? You living within your means and giving him the first fruits. Be careful when you ask God into your problem, because he's got some opinions about all your problems that will help you, by the way. So you ask him. I think it's interesting when I read the Old Testament, when they came and brought something before the altar and they laid it on the altar, they killed it, they slaughtered it. And the reason they did, if you bring an animal before the altar and you don't kill it, it will follow you home. And so when you bring something before God, you let it die there. You let him give the advice that he's going to give and you come back to obey. The third prayer pill is the prayer pill of the word here in this text is thanksgiving, which literally means thanksgiving. Okay? Just want to clear that up for you. That yes, you come and you praise God, and as you praise God, your God gets bigger, your problem gets smaller. You ask God to be involved in your situation, and he will get involved. But you don't leave that prayer time without thanking God for all the good things going on in your life. I want to give you permission to do something, whether you're in our celebration service today or you're in this service or maybe you're watching us at home today. If there's somebody in the room with you, just right now I want to give you permission to look around you. Look to the right, look to the left, maybe look behind you. I want you to just look at those people and kind of survey who's with you. It's all right. You have permission to look. Look, look, look. Okay, now everybody back. Everybody back. Come on back. Now, let me just tell you something about the people you just looked at. They kind of look normal, don't they? They're not. They look like they're dressed and in their right mind, but here's the truth about everybody you just looked at. They got something going on wrong in their life right now. Some of the people you just looked at are having financial problems right now. Not just little financial, they're having major financial problems. Some of the people you looked at have a health crisis going on that is consuming most of their mind and their time right now. Some of the people you looked at, they've got kids that are on drugs or rebelling in some other way. Some of the people you looked at are not happy in their job right now. And some of them are afraid they're about to lose their job. Some have already lost their job. But let me tell you about the people you just looked at. If they are followers of Jesus Christ, they have more. Don't miss this. It may be worth the trip. They have more going on right in their life and good in their life than they have that's going wrong. What does it say in Philippians 4:4 that we start off? It says, rejoice in the Lord. didn't say rejoice if everything's going well in your life. It says rejoice in the Lord whether things are going right or not. And if I had a whiteboard up here, I could write your name and I could write down finances and health and friends and church and neighborhood and job. And I could go on and on. And we could put negatives or plus by each one of those categories. But when I write the word at the bottom of it, if you're a follower of Christ, the Lord, you add it all up and it's going to be a plus. Do you realize that? One of these days we're going to die, or if the Lord doesn't come back first, and he's going to take us to the place where there is no sickness, there are no financial difficulties, there are no enemies, there are no weeds in the garden. And until that day, he has promised to walk with us through it and to cause all things to work together for good, for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there is more going on right in your life than that there is not. And he says, come to me and praise me for who I am. And I'm going to get real big and your problem's going to get real small. And then you invite me into the problem and I want to hear about it. I want to hear every detail about it. But don't you dare bring me your problems. Don't you dare bring me your worries until you, and not thank me for all the things that are going right in your life. See, what happens is when we have things to worry about, what happens is we get tunnel vision. And all we think about and all we concentrate and all we focus on is that one bad part of our life. And God said, I want you to be honest about that, but I also want you to look at everything else that's going on and what will go on because of your relationship with me. And then what happens is you have a healthy perspective. You have a realistic, this is not a kind of thing, don't worry, be happy, just only look at the positive things. No, look at everything. And if you're a follower of Christ, there's more going on right than wrong. And you're gonna stand up with a new energy and a new gratefulness. You're going to realize that even when you're going through your toughest time, you can be a blessing to somebody else because of the strengths that are in your life. Are you worried today about something? Part of the answer may be to obey God, to step behind the shield of faith and do it his way and his strength. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's in a sin, a secret sin in your life. Maybe it's in your thought life. But if there's something in your life that you're worried about today and there's not a thing in the world that you can do about it, then take three pills. A pill of praise, a pill of inviting him into your life and into that problem, and a pill of thankfulness. And what the Bible says, it says the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, it just doesn't make sense, will guard your heart, your emotions. Sometimes they get away from us, don't they? When we get surprised by things that cause us concern, and your mind, what we think about, what we lie awake at night and go over and over and over about, in the riches of Christ Jesus. Let's thank God for that. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. More than that, thank you for your faithful presence in our life. Thank you, dear Father, that we don't have to be worried, that we can be full of joy. Help us to obey you and help us to practice your presence by praying without ceasing and in all things to give thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.